Reading from the Psalms today and the prophet Isaiah, Psalm 22, 4 and 5 says, "In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. For you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and they were not put to shame." Psalm 118, 8 and 9 says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans." Is that true? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes or kings or presidents or senators or governors or mayors or city councils. Psalm 118, I'd say it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Amen. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Isaiah 26, 4 says, "Trust in the Lord for how long? Forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal." Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your son, Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the son of the living God. We ask, Father, that you would just bless this assembly this morning. We pray that you would send your spirit upon this place. We ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we might see, that, Lord, you would touch our ears that we might hear the voice of God this morning. Lord, we pray for wisdom. We ask, God, that you would teach us what it looks like to be a good citizen walking on planet Earth, especially in this country. You tell us, Lord, that you've given us a spirit of love and power and sound thinking from the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, today that you would help us to be all that you've called us to be. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus this morning, who's come to worship the Lord Jesus this morning, would say what? Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. It's good to be with you. A few things. So our ancestors in the Christian faith come from the Jewish people. Jesus was Jewish, the Jewish Messiah. The early church was all Jewish, and they are actually really shocked when they found out that the blood of Jesus even covers people that are non-Jew. Anybody who's non-Jewish, raise your hand in this room. You're called a Gentile. Did you know that the blood of Messiah is for you too? That was in the prophecies of Genesis, that from the seed of Abraham one would come that would take away and bless the nations of the world. And when we read in the last book, in the book of Revelation, they sing of this prophesied Messiah. It's the bookends of the Bible. Jesus comes for the Jew and the Gentile. We have a Messianic Jewish congregation that meets here every Saturday. They're believers that Yeshua is the Messiah. Rabbi Feldman is a Messianic Jew. Next Saturday here, they're having an Israeli, Messianic Israeli Jew coming and speaking in their service. Last week was Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement in the Jewish calendar. Next Saturday, they have a very special speaker coming. I want to come and listen to this person. I would encourage you to come as well. What has it been like for a believer in Messiah to live in Israel over this last year, especially with October 7th and so forth? So kind of cool, something to think about. Also, just want to throw out a big shout out to Orange County Rescue Mission. It's a Christian-run organization. They're amazing. And to have 107 children that would be homeless if it wasn't for that organization. And every one of them has a story, the mom and the dad, probably a lot of abuse in the homes. And when for us to be able to make a blanket for these kids for Christmas is beautiful. To love these children. It's not their fault. And sometimes it's just life is just difficult sometimes. I love the Orange County Rescue Mission. If you go there, they make everybody do drug testing. And I mean, if you're a person that's homeless and you're close to homelessness and you go there, they're going to give you job placement skills. They're you go to Sunday school, they have teaching of Christ and Jesus. It's 64% filled. It's amazing. Think of all the homeless people on the streets. A lot of the people that are homeless don't, it's such a complex issue. Love the Orange County Rescue Mission. We totally get to do this. It's going to be awesome. So praise God. And dude, my house is filled with blankets and my lady's just so stoked on this. So hey, and it's kind of cool. I'm like, some of the dudes in the college crew group, they're cutting and helping. And I mean, it's just neat that we're making blankets. It's going to be rad. So, okay. There's times in a life of a father where you have certain moments that you'll never forget the rest of your life. There was a moment that I had a few years ago when my youngest son graduated high school, Jeremiah. And before I knew it, he was interested in joining the army. And he's talking to recruiters. And I told my son, don't sign anything. But he did. And there was a time I drove him. So when he was heading off to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for basic training, he had to be at this like marshalling depot area in Long Beach. And he had to get there at 5 a.m. and I drove him there. So weird. We pull up, there's all these people, there's a lot of young people that have signed up to join the military, and a lot of family members hugging them, a lot of just tears. And Jeremy and I pulled up, and I remember that, and it was so awkward, because I didn't know what to say or do, you know. I just knew he was going to walk away, and I'm not going to see him again. He goes off to basic. And He says, well, Dad, these are his words to me. Well, Dad, I guess it's time for me to grow up and serve my country. And he got out of the car and I watched him walk away. So our family is, a very patriotic family. My family's actually a part of an organization called Sons of the American Revolution. My ancestors came here in the 1600s. My ancestors fought with George Washington in the New Jersey regiments in the Declaration of Independence. My ancestors fought in the New Jersey regiments in the Civil War. My ancestor, actually, Abraham Clark, signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. His wife's name was Winans. My father is a World War II vet that served in World War II. And so my son, Jeremiah, he became a chaplain assistant. That means he served the chaplains in the military for 6 years. So he was kind of the person to guard them and to assist them. And I'm proud of my son. And I'm actually proud of being an American citizen. I love this country. Whenever you travel, and I've put a lot of stamps in my passport, and I hope and pray that you have and you get an opportunity to do that, every time I come back to this country and they say, welcome home, it just feels good. If people are trying to break into your country, that means you have a good one. Now, America's not perfect, but it's a great country. And it's been built on some amazing principles. Godly principles. I want to read you a document and tell me if you might maybe recognize this document. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impels them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among mankind, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What document is this? Does anyone know? It's the Declaration of Independence. In the Declaration of Independence, the presupposition is that God exists. And that people made in the image of God are given as images of God certain unalienable rights. And these rights are life, some liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What institution on earth is to assure these rights? Does anyone know? The government. The government is for the people. The people are not for the government. What a radical idea. I want you to let that sink in. The government is here to ensure on behalf of God that certain inalienable rights that all humans have. The government's job is to make sure that these rights are there. The government is here to serve the people. The people are not here to serve the government. What a radical idea. George Washington, here's a picture of our first president. George Washington calls this government that we have the great experiment. He called it an experiment. 200 plus years ago, there was no other government on earth like the one they were creating, that the founding fathers were creating. And he calls it, and by the way, he had a front row seat. He termed this country and this government that we are still under the great experiment. How many kings and dictators are there in the world today compared to governments that are now elected by people? Back in the day, Europe was all kings. They were all kings. And they saw the people they ruled as subjects to serve the king. But then over here in America, these guys got together and said, you know what? That's not right. God gives all people inalienable rights, and the people are not here to serve the king, but the king is here to serve the people or the government, the great experiment. 200 plus years ago, in the world today, as you look at the world today, 164 countries, more actually, how many of them are ruled by dictators? Now, kings, dictators, Russia, Vladimir Putin's a dictator. I just read recently, in the war that he has with Ukraine, 640,000 young people have been casualties in this war in the last 2 years. None of those kids that are fighting gave him consent. We didn't vote him in. Anybody that runs against Putin's killed. He's a dictator. China, dictator. North Korea, dictator. Iran, dictator. Those people see the people that are underneath them as subjects to rule or to serve them. Are you with me? And then there's America. 200 plus years ago, in the American Revolution, there was a Declaration of Independence that governments are here to serve the people, not people serve the government. So where did the founding fathers get their ideas of government from? They speak of a creator in the Declaration of Independence. What creator were they talking about? Just ask them. Just ask them, and they'll tell you what God they're talking about. Patrick Henry says, next one. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Jay is the first Supreme Court justice. Next one. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. Wow, really? And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Wow. Benjamin Franklin, I don't have this. This is a speech that he gave to the Constitutional Convention on Thursday, June 28th, 1787, said, quote, here's Benjamin Franklin, we need God to be our friend and not our enemy. We need him to be our ally and not our adversary. We need to make sure that we keep God's concerning aid. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it, then how do we think that a nation can rise without his aid? Benjamin Franklin is quoting Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. And Benjamin Franklin was the least religious of the founding fathers. John Quincy Adams is very interesting. His dad, John Adams, was the second president of the United States. John Quincy Adams was a little kid and watched our nation rise, and he became the sixth president, I believe it is. He says this, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Did y'all know that? This is his impression. America was created by religious people who ran from religious persecution, if you know the Puritans, right? As the 13 colonies grew, there was always a strong Christian culture in America. And when they rebelled against the King of England, they did it on religious grounds, according to the Declaration of Independence. I want you just to think on that. This country was founded on this God. Listen to the founding fathers. This is who they were quoting. Abraham Lincoln was once asked during the Civil War, is God on our side? His statement was, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is, am I on God's side? Here's another, during the Civil War, was put first time on our dollar bills, in God we trust. It was in the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln said, I want to put on every money. Did you know that if you all have money, you have a coin, or if you look closely, I don't know, it says, in God we trust. In God we trust. In God we trust. We the people, it says in the Constitution, has a responsibility to this country as citizens to be good citizens. And one of the responsibilities we have as citizens of this country is to vote. The government rules by the consent of the governed. The government rules by the voting of the people. We as citizens of this country are to vote. And by doing this, the government is held accountable to the people. This is how the great experiment is played out, according to George Washington. Think of the Declaration of Independence as the vision for our country, for this country. And think of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as the rules in which this country is played. We the people. I started this year in January. Everybody said, Pastor Frank, this could be a terrible year in 2024. There's wars in Europe. There's wars in the Middle East. We have an election this year. This is going to be a terrible year. I said, this is going to be a great year because God's still on his throne. People have been dreading the elections that are coming up. Hey, guys, let's talk about the Word of God. We're going to talk about putting on the armor of God. All through this year, we've been, as your pastor, I've been trying just to get you to look up and see Jesus. Because if you don't, you're going to get whipped into this. This morning, I'd like to have, for the next few weeks, I just need to have a pastor's moment with you. I want to talk to you about seven things that you need to think about as citizens of this country as we're heading into this election. How do we, the purpose of this church is to help people meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus as a disciple. How do we follow Jesus as a citizen of this country into the elections? It's funny, you know, Jesus didn't vote. Caesar Augustus, dictator. All of them are subjects. Jesus never voted. In this country, the way it's set up, as a citizen, you have the right to vote, and you're actually expected to vote. Is a Christian living in, if you're a Christian living in Russia, that's tough. If you're a Christian living in Iran, wow. You're a Christian living in North Korea, pray. China, you don't get to vote. In this country, the great experiment, the government rules by the consent of the people. How do the people give their consent? They vote. So here's some things to think about this election from Pastor Frank. And I want you to take notes with me this morning. Write these down. Are you ready? Here's note number one. Write this down. Get in small groups a week. Read the scriptures. Let's pray about this. Let's talk about this. Here's principle number one. Number one, write down this. No matter who wins the election, Jesus remains king. Whoever wins the election, Jesus remains king. 1 Timothy 6, verses 14 and 6 through 16 says, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, only ruler. You know who the only ruler is? God. Everything else are just mere mortals. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that's who Christ is, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might and glory forever. Amen and amen. Amen. You guys, no matter what happens, Jesus is still the Lord. Whoever becomes president, Jesus remains king on November 5th. God's still going to be on his throne. So I need y'all to take a deep breath and chill out. Take a deep breath and chill out. In God we trust. In God we trust. Say it with me. In God we trust. Okay, now let's say it like we mean it. Ready? One, two, three. In God we trust. It's on our dollar bill. The founding fathers say amen. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. That's like saying today, some trust in tanks or guns or armies or navies or nuclear bombs. Back in the days, it was chariots and horses. They were the tank of the day. Some people trust in military hardware. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God, who walks on water and raises the dead. Psalm 22, 4 and 5 says, in you our ancestors put their trust. This is true of America 200 plus years ago. Our founding fathers put their trust in God. Listen to them. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. In God we trust. Psalm 118, 8 and 9 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in presidents, mayors, governors, senators, congressmen, city councils. Better to trust in the Lord. How many people in here have ever had a president let you down? Raise your hand. Join the club. Isaiah 26, 4 says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. How long is eternal? That's a long time, people. He's God. See, so no matter what happens in the weeks ahead, who do you trust? God. In God we trust. Hey, one more time. Say it with me. Breathe. Dude, the TVs, it's like COVID fatigue. It's like political fatigue. Extra credit, FYI, Isaiah chapter 40. Read Isaiah chapter 40. You'll read that God says that all the nations of the world are like a drop in a bucket. He looks at them and says they're nothing. They're like, God is God, the creator and the created. Note number two this morning. Write this down. Voting in this country is not just a privilege, it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility to secure that these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In this country, the government gets its consent to govern from the people. How? By voting. It's a responsibility. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. It's our duty to vote. John Jay says, and if preferable, vote for Christians. There's something about a leader that knows that they're responsible to God for their actions that makes them govern better. And here's George Washington, our first president. It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God in the Bible, says the dude on your dollar bill. The greatest mass murderers in human history are leaders that don't believe in God. In the last century, Joseph Stalin killed 9 million people, mostly from his own country. Mao in China killed between 40 and 80 million people, mostly from his own country. Adolf Hitler, what a wonderful Christian, right? Not. 20 million in Europe died. 6 million he murdered is because they were Jewish. If a leader doesn't believe in God, then who are they ultimately accountable to? Anyone have an answer to that? Well, if they don't believe in God, I can do whatever I want. I can kill whoever I want. Vladimir Putin's a dictator. I feel so bad for the young men fighting in this war that's his war. 640,000 of them in the last 2 years are casualties. They have no choice. I think the dude sleeps just fine. He's an atheist. There's no God. And I'm the dictator of Russia and I can do what I want. George Washington says that a leader that knows God and fears God and one day will have to make an account of himself before God will govern better. Because someday we stand before the Lord and give an account of our actions. And that's all of us in this room, FYI. John Jay says it's our duty to vote, and if possible, vote for Christians because they are held to a higher authority. And maybe we don't have this option in our election this year. I don't think that anybody who's running for president are Sunday school teachers. I don't personally know them. But it's still our responsibility to vote. Pastor Frank, but both of them stink. Then may I suggest you plug your nose and vote for the least worst one. Vote. It's your responsibility. It's your job. Hey, Christian, you're a citizen of this country. You have a responsibility to vote. Note number 3, write this down. As a follower of Jesus, be informed, be prayerful, and vote your conscience. You need to think it through. We exist as a church to help people meet Jesus and to know Jesus, and we pray one day they bow their knee and follow Jesus, just like George Washington bows his knee, you know, to follow Christ. In Romans chapter 14, it says that we're all going to give an account of our lives one day. Someday we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our lives. Make sure that you can stand before God and say, this is why I voted. This is why I chose the way I did. I thought it through. I prayed about it. Make sure you feel good about why you voted and your thoughts and reason. This is between you and God. This one's important. Note number 4, write this down. Vote for policy and not personality. I love their personality. They have a pretty smile. Their smile's not going to affect you, but their policies will. Who cares what personality they have? Their personality is not going to impact our society and impact your life, but their policies are radically going to impact society and how you live. My son, middle son, is a police officer in the city of San Diego. He says, Dad, when I enter into shift, he goes, there's times I'll sit in my patrol car and there are 34 service calls waiting in the city of San Diego. 34 people waiting that called the police. And he says, Dad, sometimes we won't get there for 2 or 3 hours. And when I show up, they're like, where have you been? I called the police 2 or 3. He goes, complain to the city council. But I'm here now. How can I help you? Defunding the police was really bad policy. Ask people. You vote policy, not personality. Prop 47 was marketed as the Safe Neighborhood and Schools Act. It removed certain crimes to misdemeanors. If you steal less than $1,000, it's a misdemeanor. So you walk into a store and you walk out whatever it is, if it's under $1,000. And if the police race to get there, they write him a ticket. See in court? Maybe. Has this made our society safer in California? Yes or no? Malls are not safe. Theft is skyrocketing. Mobs of people race into stores, strip the malls, and run out. And each one of them has under $1,000. Prop 36 is trying to reverse this. It was just really stupid policy. And we all know it. Right? It's made the Safe Neighborhood and Schools Act. Who wrote that? Really? The government did. Governing, we voted these people in to make this policy. It's bad policy. You do not vote personality, gender, race, or political affiliation. You vote policy. Why? Because policy is what affects society. Policy what affects you. Think. Christian, God says we're given sound thinking. We have to think this through. Christian, vote intelligently. Policy. Okay, here you go. Ready? Person breaks into a home at 3:30 in the morning. This guy's on drugs. Ripped the front door off the door jams of the house. Broke into the house. The dad, who's upstairs with his family, hears the door. His wife's calling the police. He grabs his gun and says, do not come upstairs or I will shoot you. The person comes up the stairs and he shoots him. Who's the victim? True story, by the way. Who's the victim? Depends on what zip code you live in. In Los Angeles, the victim is the person that was shot. The person that's going to jail and charges are given on the person is the person who fired the gun. In Orange County, the victim is the person who did what he never wanted to do or had to do, but in order to protect his family, shot the person that was coming up threatening his kids or his family. In this state, what zip code you live in matters because of who you voted for as the district attorney. Who's the victim? Don't vote personality or even political party. Vote policy. Why, Pastor Frank? Because policy is what affects you and our society. This requires people to be intelligent when they vote. Are you with me? Am I offending anybody? I just need a pastor's moment with you. Just think about it. I'm a disciple of Jesus. How do I responsibly vote? The New York Times wrote gave a report on April 9th of 2024. California spent $24 billion to tackle homelessness over the past 5 years, but didn't consistently track whether the huge outlay of public money actually improved the situation. According to the state audit release, they don't know where the money went. $24 billion. Dollars of whose money? Who in here pays taxes? Raise your hand. That's your money. And they don't even know where it is. Whose fault ultimately is this? The voters. Because they get their consent from the governed. We vote them in. Do you know that if that was in some kind of a corporation, those people would be fired? $24 billion. You vote for the issues. You don't vote personality. God. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. You are to look at the heart of the issues. Not they have a nice smile. Don't vote personality, race, gender, or political affiliation. Be smart people, vote policy. They're just saying there's a new 64-cent tax that they're considering putting on gas. Does that affect anybody in this room? Do you know, for me personally, I'm so angry at this. Everything I look at, if the government in Sacramento is asking me for any more money, I vote no. You waste it. And then I read it and go, is there a reason? If I'm going to pay 64 more cents for, are we going to solve world hunger with this? Or am I just feeding the beast as they take this money and just waste it? The Lord has given you a spirit of power and love and sound thinking. We are called to be people that are intelligent in voting. That's it. You have to vote as a Christian. It's a part of being a good citizen of this country. So be informed and be of sound thinking when you vote. What are the policies that are important? Note number 5, write this down. Ready? Be civil. Christian, be civil. Be kind. Be civil. Every election in America is getting more and more divisive. As a follower of Jesus, can I beg you, please don't get drawn in. Don't get drawn in. Be civil with one another. Be civil with those that disagree with you and you disagree with them. Remain in fellowship. Be kind. Kindness is the language that any deaf person can hear and any blind person can see. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Don't fight. Be civil. I have really good friends of mine that vote differently than I do, and I still give them a hug and pray over them. I try to tell them that I'm right. But we don't get drawn into this. And I want to keep learning and growing. Ask, seek, knock. As Christians, we need to agree that the most significant aspect of our relationships are not political. They're not political views. Our political affiliations does not matter. What matters most is our love for Jesus, his brothers and sisters in Christ. Politics has its role, but Christ is the most significant aspect of our community. You better say amen. Amen. Jesus is what binds us together. not independent, democratic, republican, federalist back in the days of Abraham Lincoln. It was the Federalists. Hey guys, we can have different opinions, but we're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. Be civil. Remain in fellowship. There's neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male or female, Republican or Democrat, but we're all one in Christ. Remain in friendship. Remain in fellowship. That's the will of God. We're one. Note number 6, write this down. Pray for those running. You're supposed to pray for them. Pray for those that are governing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all those in authority. Praying for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in a godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Agree or disagree, like or dislike, Republican, Democratic, Tea Party, Coffee Party, I don't care, right? Lift up a prayer for Kamala Harris and her family. Lift up a prayer for Donald Trump and his family. Pray for their spiritual journey. Pray for their conviction, for their leadership. Pray for safety and peace. Pray for them. Why? Well, because God commands you to. Because one of them is going to be your next president. Pray for them. If somebody's flying the airplane and they crash the airplane, guess who dies? Everybody on the airplane. If they're our president and they stink and they drive this country into the ground, who pays? We do. Shouldn't you pray for them? Man, think about it. Last note, love God and love people. This is the most important one. We talked about this recently. Jesus is omnibenevolent. God commands us to love one another. May our love for politics, may our love for ideology, may our love for philosophy not supersede our love for God and for other people, including the neighbors who live next to you that maybe don't share how you believe. You love people. Here's Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. It's his kingdom we proclaim, people. We are not called to save America. We're called to save Americans. We're called to save all people. Our eternal citizenship is in heaven. And 88 years from now, it won't matter. We're called to save Americans. Vote. And let it go. I'm just trying to speak to you as a pastor this morning. Abraham Lincoln was once asked during the Civil War, is God on our side? Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side, but my greatest concern, am I on God's side? What is God's wisdom? What is God's side on the issues? What's God's side? Know God. Understand his position. and represent the Lord. No matter who wins, Jesus remains king. Number two, voting in this country is not just a privilege, it's a responsibility. Note number three, as a follower of Jesus, be informed, be prayerful, and vote your conscience. Number six, vote for policy people, not personality. Number five, be civil. Number six, pray for those who are running in government. And number seven, love God and love people. As a disciple of Jesus, this is how you have got to approach this. Try to remember these things in the up and coming weeks. In God we trust. In God we trust. In God we trust. Say it with me. One more time. Doesn't that feel better? He's got this. Don't get drawn in. Be a good citizen. Father, I pray for us this morning. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us, God, as disciples of Jesus in the 21st century, here in Orange County, how are we to represent you well? Jesus, you say that we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. Jesus, you say that we as your disciples and ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, that we represent eternity. We represent the prophesied Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, we on this earth are supposed to be the peacemakers. I wish there was more peacemakers in this world. This world's so messed up, Lord. Help us, God, to be who you've called us to be. Help us, Jesus, to behave the way you ask us to. We ask, Father, that you would just take this. Lord, just help us to meditate on these things and grow and learn. Help us, God, at least here in this country, to understand the foundations on which it was laid and the principles on which it is given. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would help this country. We pray for this country. The world is watching what this country will do in November. We're a superpower. We have a lot of influence in the world. We're no longer 13 colonies on the back half of the world. In the days in which we live, this country has risen to a crazy place of importance. What our government does affects the world, and we are the ones who are supposed to vote in the government. No pressure, Lord, but we need help. The world is watching. Help us, Jesus, to be good Christians, intelligent and wise and smart. Help us to think this through. And God, we just place this all in your hands. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen.